And then one of those kids went and ended up hearing the gospel on his high school campus and gave his life to Jesus Christ. By the way, that kid was me. And the pastor was Chuck Smith and his wife was Kay Smith. And so I bring this up because every one of us probably had someone pray for us to believe in Jesus.
You have to want to be there for your people.
Put it right now.
Okay, yo. This is a podcast going on. You know what I'm saying?
Done here doing my favorite thing on a Sunday afternoon. You're listening to the American Freedom in God podcast, presented by JPF and Associates and the JohnPFox.com training portal and classroom, where we share commentary, wisdom, and counsel. This is a weekly podcast show. Thank you for tuning in. To support a narrative rather than the truth. This is how we operate in this country, by narrative. The truth is too much like a sledgehammer. And, you know, plans for an insurrection by the Trump in the White House has been exonerated. Watch the fall of the cabal, guys. Steve Bannon's War Room today. We're going to cold open with some narrative, as mentioned already. And we're going to see why that is. You know, we're going to kind of delve into that. Do you guys know who Soros is? Judicial Watch. The J6 committee suppressed exonerating evidence. That's two now. Maybe they're both related. Greg Laurie, a far hope message today, guys. The solution for worry. And we're going to go ahead and play a couple of minutes coming from expert Bible scholar Greg Laurie. I got a health segment for you today, guys. We're going to talk about what is an impossible burger. GMOs and synthetically synthetic biology type foods. We're going to see what's going on there. It's stuff that's made in a laboratory instead of out of nature. You know, when you're eating a burger that's impossible burger, it's supposed to be all vegetable. Did you know that if you really look at that burger close, you'll find, or you could find, it depends on it, I guess, that it's not been built by stuff found in nature. That's right. You're eating stuff that was developed under a microscope. Guys, welcome to another episode of the American Freedom and God podcast with your host, John P. Fox. My pleasure to be here and with the support of co-producer Debbie. So today's title is to support a narrative rather than the truth. We're just going to go into that a little bit. It's important that we get these things across, especially if you're somebody who's has a certain news channel you always watch, been watching it for years and stuff. You got to understand that they are there supporting a narrative and they have you in, you know, in their realm. They have you in believing within their realm of what it is they support, which is okay. So that happens. I've been there, done that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of pull the veil back a little bit, let you see what's going on. A couple other things I wanted to talk about is, you know, AI Gemini from Google, and maybe we'll hit on Taylor Swift, how she is going to be a major part of the Biden-Harris campaign that's up and coming. Donald Trump secures, we've known this now for months, but the nominee for the Republican Party, but we've already known for months, but it just became official. Today, this is March 13th, 2024, and this is episode EP123. All right, let's get on with it. So, this is how we operate in the country. It is a narrative for the most part. And by that, I'm saying that the truth is just too much of a sledgehammer. So today's monologue is about that, guys. I wanted to start with, I probably start with a couple of headlines, but it's just going to be that I got so much to talk about. I'm just going to throw it in as I go, a little this and a little of that. But to support a narrative rather than the truth, is that what the news people are doing? I mean, if you think about it, I'm going to bring today's first soundbite. We're going to play a little bit of that. And, you know, it's hard for me to listen to. This cold open over at Steve Bannon's War Room is like 5 minutes long. And I cannot just sit there and listen to all 5 minutes. It's almost like if you've ever sat around, you went over a friend's house when you were a kid, and you all play, and then you're having a good time together. There's like five of you. And then you sit around and start bickering with each other, and it's just like silly little stuff. But you insist on being right. So even though it's absurd what it is you're trying to claim, you insist on being right, and you get louder and louder about it, and then you start throwing stuff at each other. Well, when a news station starts going on narrative only, and then one narrative after a year just stops working, they change narratives, and you just kind of start noticing it. And then when it gets to the point where they're not winning the narrative that they're trying to stick to, you can almost hear that bickering of those that little group of kids that never quite get along when they're playing together, and they start bickering. That's what I'm hearing when I listen to these news people now with their little narrative. But the reason I'm hearing it is because I'm somebody that actually knows the other side of things. And one of the goals into the American Freedom and God podcast is to help us to understand that in order to continue with the American freedom and do it as a godly person in a godly group or in godly, you know, show, one of the things we have to understand is there is another way to see everything. And so how we operate in this country is not the way it looks. And, you know, a lot of times people just, it's a hard thing for me to take. People just don't want to see what's really going on. I have brought in with me also from Judicial Watch a little article we'll be playing today. And that article is talking about the fact that the January 6th committee, which was there to get to the bottom of what they call an insurrection on January 6th of 2020, that committee was comprised of a group of congressmen, representatives, men and women, that were supposed to subpoena and ask questions. They were supposed to do interviews with anybody and everybody involved. They were going to get together some evidence and some facts, and they're going to get to the bottom of it. And that the committee's objective is to point out what and why it happened and what it is. Well, they said it's an insurrection, and it happened because Donald Trump caused it to happen. Along the way, it came out that Donald Trump actually offered over 10,000 National Guard troops days before, with the reasoning being that we're kind of concerned that there may be leftist groups showing up at this peaceful protest that's about to happen in D.C. And he was concerned that these leftist groups, I mean, after all the riots of 2019, I mean, what are you going to do, right? So he's concerned that all these leftist groups are going to infiltrate with his people that support him, you know, so the Trump crowd. And not only the Trump crowd, but the Republican crowd, or the crowd that sees that things were going well and they liked their bottom line during the Trump administration. They liked how that there was no inflation. They liked that, you know, energy independence of the United States. They liked all those things that was going on during his, and so they're a part of what they liked, and they're a part of the Trump crowd for that reason. Cause see, you can't just say everybody is a Trump person. You gotta say why they're there. And so I'm trying to do that. At the same time, I want to reiterate that he was worried that leftists were going to infiltrate and start a scene and then get everybody all stirred up into this, little chaotic scene. And so he said, let's get 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the nation's capital. A previously hidden transcript obtained by the Federalists shows that he was trying to do that. Now, what we're getting to is that doesn't fit the narrative of the January 6th committee. They can't have that. They can't be talking to the American people about that. They can't let the American people know that Donald Trump cared that a leftist group may come and start stuff during the protest and during his speech. You see, at the time, it was so obvious when they stopped the vote in the middle of the night, and then the water pipe broke, and then all the new truckloads of ballots showed up the next day. It was obvious that something fishy was going on. And so he wanted to talk to everybody. When they finally announced that Joe Biden won, he just wanted to talk to everybody. He said, look, we know we had over 89 million votes. And we know that Joe Biden, you know, did not have 89 million votes, but is going to have more than 89 million votes in order to logically be the winner. And he knew all that. So he decided he'll just give a speech. You know, he's trying to keep the people calm and make them realize, I'm sorry this happened. We're going to do all we can. We may be able to return the results of this and have it reexamined. He was just going to give a speech. And he was afraid that when he does this, that when all these people show up, this, the leftists are going to come and cause some big chaos. And any common sense thinking person, not just a president of the United States, but any common sense thinking person after seeing the 2019 riots would have thought the same thing. And so he said, let's get 10,000 National Guard troops or more to position them at the Capitol to keep the peace while I give this speech. You know what? Liz Cheney, which was on the January 6th committee, somehow was able to suppress evidence that President Trump had every intention to bring in protection that day and to avoid any chaos. And so nobody knows that. You know what I'm saying? We only go by narrative only. So from now on, people are to know that Donald Trump is an insurrectionist, no matter what really happened. So today we're going to look at that a little bit further. I brought the receipts on that. Well, it's just, yeah, it's basically receipts. You know, you go to the Federalist website where the evidence is. It'll tell you exactly where these documents can be found, the receipts. And then we'll listen to a sound bite. We'll examine further why it is that some people, they watch the news. I have family members. They just watch the news every day. You know, if you don't have to get up and be somewhere, you first thing you do in the morning, sometimes you just click on the old clicker and you start listening in. And if you got used to a certain program, that's probably the one you're going to put on. And then maybe watch a couple more after that, even if you don't just sit there and watch, but you're around the house and you're hearing it. You know, these TVs, they're the size of a wall, you know. So you could be going around the house and still have it on.
Sure.
And still be hearing. You're not necessarily just sitting watching, right? But it becomes a habit. You get used to that person or those people, those anchors. You get used to their personality. You know, you're in there every morning having your coffee. Okay, what are they going to say today? You know, we're going to talk about the guy we all love to hate. And you know what happens is you start to get drunk into the fact that that's all they ever talk about. Wait a minute. Something just happened in Haiti. Something just happened in Texas. Big, huge fires. Haiti, takeover from gangs. Something just happened here. Something just happened here. And the Joe and Mickey show, which we watch every morning, not talking about it. All they want to talk about is the insurrectionist Donald Trump and the Hitler-loving Donald Trump.
And the lawsuits against Trump.
Wait a minute. Aren't you guys a news station? How come I'm not hearing about this other news? You just say, I know. Okay, so I get it. We hate Donald Trump. When are we going to talk about any other news? And you're starting to see what I'm saying now. They get caught up in that. The narrative is not necessarily the truth. It is the narrative.
Exactly.
What we have going on here, guys, is the United States, people of the United States, are being fed narratives instead of truth. One of the reasons that when somebody, a truth teller, runs for office, one of the reasons they shoot them down like they do, so to speak, is because they are a truth teller. Narratives doesn't like the truth. I love the analogy, you know, to being the religious God believer that I am. I don't even have to use the word religion because it can pertain to anything. It doesn't have to pertain to whether or not you believe in God. You religiously do this, you religiously do that. But I'm saying because I'm a believer, I would like the old narrative, not the narrative, but there's the example of why do you think your shadow is always behind you? I mean, I know it's the law of physics. The sun beats down on you, you get lit up, and behind you is a shadow. But why is it always behind you? Because you are standing in the light. And truthfully, you are seen in the light, you seen as truth. Like right now, I probably need a haircut. I'm looking in the camera going, oh my God, this guy needs a haircut. But I'm being seen in the truth of the light. My shadow's behind me, because if I were to reverse that around and put the shadow in front of me, then all you would see is darkness. And you'd be wanting to wipe the shadow out of the way so you can actually see me. The shadow is behind us by the laws of physics from which God created for a reason. We live in the light. Why? Another analogy is, I almost said narrative while ago, I meant analogy. Another analogy is, why do sometimes, when I was growing up, I had some friends, I'd go over to say hi or whatever after school, and I'd get to their house, and a couple of their bedroom windows had aluminum foil all over them. I said, why do you suppose they want aluminum foil? How do you see out the window with aluminum foil all over it? Because they live in the darkness. They love the darkness. Whenever the light comes in, no, I can't have that. And I'm not sure why that is, just that it exists that way. When you're afraid of the light, you are afraid of the truth. That's the basic analogy. So, you know, guys, in a lab, when we get ready to examine something, we put it on a light table. Because the light table lights up from underneath just whatever it is we're examining. And also we have spotlight down on top of it. So we have lights in both directions. There's no darkness. Why? Because we need to see the truth. We need to look down on there and see the truth. Well, a narrative defies all that logic 100% and sticks to its darker side. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say that they're just evil, dark people that go around hurting everybody. Because they're probably not. They have a family. They have love in their life. They have nieces, nephews, grandmas, uncles. You know, they have Christmas together and stuff. But when they get back on that set, they go right back to that narrative, which is very dark. And I think they believe it themselves, you know, pertaining to, say, MSNBC and some of the anchors that are on there. I think they actually believe it themselves that the truth has evaded them so far, much.
You tell a lie long enough until you actually believe it, right?
Yeah. So the plans for an insurrection by Trump at the White House are now hereby exonerated. And one of the reasons that we know that is based on this article that was just now dropped. And I brought it this morning for that reason. And again, there's like eight other huge things that's happening right now in a country of the United States and in the rest of the world that is not being talked about. Maybe it is, but it's very little, because first they have to do the narrative. So I will go ahead and start with that this morning, guys. But before I do, I want to finish this opening monologue by talking a little bit about AI Gemini. So, you know, if by now, if you're anybody that's not under a rock, you realize that AI is starting to develop and come out. It's starting to show up in a lot of places. But its first appearance, well, actually, it was in video games. So I'm playing NASCAR, and I have set up my vehicle with all the equipment, all the physical equipment I need. It's set up, we're ready to race, but I don't have anybody to race against. Well, yes, you do. You have AI cars. So it's artificial intelligence. So if I'm going around turn two and I bump the three car next to me, then the next time I get near the three car, he's going to bump me back. So AI intelligence is learned intelligence. It knows what to do. Also, it also knows not to just go super fast and make you lose every time, because it's AI and it has to give you a chance. It's trying to act like it actually has a mind itself, you know, and it's artificially intelligent. So once something gets like that with, you know, AI is basically not necessarily intelligence. What it is it's just quantum computing. It's just high speed processing. It can access data so fast a human brain could never do. Not even the earlier forms of computations could ever access data that fast. But now these processors can do it so fast that they can now develop what we call AI. With that fast processing, they can access any information on any computer worldwide in nanoseconds and then bring it to you. But it still didn't do it because it's smart. It did it because the voltage and the processing. That's how it was able to do it. Where did it get the information? From humans. So are they really intelligent? Well, what's the problem is once it continues to compound in that area, it can get so intelligent that it can start shutting off things it shouldn't be shut off and turning on things it shouldn't be turned on. causing things that shouldn't be, you know, because they were people. And AI doesn't get that. You know, if you ever watched an episode of Star Trek, and I know a lot of listeners out there did, then they understand about the Android Data. He's basically AI. He's AI. He's a super processing, Android that he has a quest to feel emotion. For some reason, maybe that was put into his little chips. Maybe it was put into his cyber setup. He has this quest to feel emotion and be like the rest of the people on the Enterprise because he's becoming a fond of being on the Enterprise. He's saved them. I don't know how many times because all while they're all being gassed by something and falling down and losing, going unconscious, it doesn't affect Data and he's able to get to the bottom of it and correct it all and get them out of that. And then the captain wakes up and says, Data, what just happened? You know, so that's AI when it gets going really, really good. Sorry about that. I just wanted to mention that Gemini from Google, the AI Gemini, has also been learned and is also, when you use it, showing you what it's learned. And recently, I got a report that I was reading that somebody did a search for the founding founders of the United States of America through Gemini AI ChatGPT. There's a ChatGPT is the early forms of AI coming on the scenes. You can go to OpenAI and you can click on ChatGPT and you'll see what I'm talking about. Well, Bing and Google, some of the other search engines also have their own form of AI that is mimicking ChatGPT. And so Gemini being one of them. And so people use Gemini said, what did the founding fathers of the United States of America look like? I don't know if they asked that particular question, but they asked something that was pertaining to that. And the AI, they were looking for images from AI. They wanted images because AI is capable of making a web page in just a matter of seconds, complete with images. So they said, make us a web page with the founding fathers of the United States of America. And so they did that, and they were all black. Okay. That is going to come up as, well, we don't need to mention the word racist here because that's not where this is going. That is going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. If Thomas Jefferson's not black, then Thomas Jefferson is not black. Same thing with George Washington, right. Adams, you know, all of them. If they're not black, they're not black. So this is a problem. Now, why did they come up as black guys? Because it was learned that way.
Right. By Gemini. It's almost like a narrative switch or something.
My point is, guys, just because it's labeled AI doesn't mean it's artificially intelligent. Same thing with an impossible burger. It doesn't mean that it came from vegetables in nature. So AI, keep that in mind. There are some good AIs. So far, I've had good luck with ChatGPT as far as, all right, ChatGPT, and I asked it a certain question that I already know the answer to in depth. And I asked him that same question, and it came pretty close to what I already knew. And I said, all right, at least that time I could count on you. Another thing is if you use AI to write ChatGPT to write an article, and because it's a lot faster, I recommend you getting a dictatorship software where you can dictate in the microphone and the software prints out those words. It's a little bit better because it's coming from your heart and from your mind and not artificial intelligence. But anyway, I asked stuff that I knew very much about, and it did the job pretty good. So I'm happy about that. But you guys, be aware of AI and Gemini. I'm sure they're going to come out and say something went wrong, and we're going to fix that, and we're sorry. And don't worry, Gemini will never do that again. It's all learned, okay? Taylor Swift, I just saw an image that was in this morning's, doing show prep, looking at a bunch of ads, articles, and news. And one of the ads and articles and news was a picture of Taylor Swift smirking and with a bunch of Biden-Harris paraphernalia around her lap in the photo. And the title was Taylor Swift to influence voters for the upcoming 2024 election. She's going to influence voters, Debbie.
I believe it. I mean,
how is she going to do that? Exactly.
Well, first of all, she's got, I don't know how many millions of people follow her on her Twitter or whatever, wherever she does. People idolize celebrities thinking they know better than themselves.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And number two, the other thing I found interesting is she works all the time. The woman barely takes a day off, but she cleared her schedule from the middle of August till November. Mm. Okay, so what happens? Middle August to November, they're campaigning, right? Joe Biden can't fill a room. I mean, he just had another one. There wasn't 40 people in there. We know he cannot fill crowds. Yeah. Look at Donald Trump rally.
They were saying because it was restricted and only 40 were allowed.
Nobody wants to come. I mean, then you have Donald Trump packing stadiums, the overflow.
And how is outside Joe, and right, down the street.
Exactly. How is Joe going to compete with that and not? Well, maybe, absolutely.
I know. Let's get Taylor
stupid.
Swift.
Bingo. Then she goes back on tour right after the election. Coincidentally.
What if she's like, you know, I'm not into politics. I didn't even do all this. And, you know, I don't actually like Trump, but I don't want to have to be that girl, you know. Then next thing you know, but, you know, there's, and then they put this slide of figure under here on a piece of paper. There's this in it for you.
Or you don't know who's pulling her.
You have no idea.
Okay, so, none of it's black and white.
People. In the next months to come, when you start seeing Taylor Swift everywhere talking up Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, just know that everything I'm telling you about what's going on with that administration is true. And what Taylor Swift is saying is conjured up. And she just wants to excite you over Biden and Harris. So just keep that in mind. You're going to see it everywhere. Try not to be swayed by it and continue to pray. Always never worry and always pray. Let your heart not be troubled. So, just trying to build this battery plant in Michigan, this Chinese company, and it is for electric cars, which right now is not looking so good. The electric car business. I mean, they work and everything. There's some positives, but I can recommend some videos on YouTube about the overall, documentary on electric cars and where it's going. You're probably going to start to see it a little differently, especially in cold weather where the battery doesn't want to start because, hey, I'm cold right now and warm me up and then I'll start.
Right.
So
there's more than that to
there's
it.
There's way more than that to it. But they're trying to build this battery plant in Michigan, and the townspeople went and shut down, what, City Hall? Or what did they do?
They locked the doors on City Hall and they fired all the government officials that were going to sell them this land or promote this plant, and the residents did not want it.
They
so they
want
went
any
in,
part of it.
Locked the place up, shut the
not doing
fired
it.
Fired them, and now they're all.
So what happens now? Governor Gretchen.
Oh,
what's her name?
Whitmer. Right? Whitmer.
She steps in now and locks them all up like January
6th. I don't know. To be continued. We'll see how this plays
guys,
out.
It is ruled by the people, so the people do have the right to fire
absolutely.
Their government.
Absolutely. I thought that was awesome when we saw that article.
You have the right to fire your government, but whether or not you can get away with it, you have to all pull together. All the millions of you have to pull together to fire your government.
I think people are really getting concerned about the Chinese coming
everything
in this
that's
country
going on.
And owning all these things.
Right. So I think now I've reached a point where I need to go ahead and start on these the visual aids that I brought to the podcast. And let's go ahead and let's delve a little bit on this new story. But, you know, guys, this story is not really new. Anybody that understands the non-narrative, which would be the truth, the sledgehammer I mentioned earlier, already knows that this story has been around ever since January 7th, the next day.
Yeah.
We knew about this all along, but they've suppressed it. Cheney and her committee falsely claimed that they had no evidence to support Trump's officials' claims that the White House had asked for 10,000 National Guard troops. So she falsely claimed that they had no evidence. You know, when you stand there and you tell officials, Department of Justice or whoever it might be, that we have no evidence to support that, then that needs to be the honest to God's truth. But what we're learning today is Liz Cheney said that and it was a lie.
Right.
They suppressed the evidence that actually existed and she knew it.
That's kind of what rhinos do, isn't it? When they
put
that wall up so that the truth doesn't come out.
Absolutely. But this new story broke yesterday. Former Rep. Liz Cheney's January 6th committee suppressed evidence that President Donald Trump pushed for 10,000 National Guard troops to protect the nation's capital. A previously hidden transcript obtained by the Federalist shows. All right, so right there, I just want to point out that this was a hidden transcript obtained by the Federalists, and it's going to go on to say where they got it. Cheney and her committee falsely claimed it had no evidence to support Trump's officials' claims the White House had communicated its desire for 10,000 National Guard troops. In fact, an early transcribed interview conducted by the committee included precisely that evidence from a key source. Precisely that evidence. The interview, which Cheney attended and personally participated in, was suppressed from the public release until now. Deputy Chief of Staff Anthony Arnaito's first transcribed interview with the committee was conducted on January 28, 2022. In it, he told Cheney and her investigators, wait a minute, it was conducted on January 28th of 2022, so that's just like 2 years later. He told Cheney and her investigators that he overheard White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows push Washington, D.C. Mayor Merrill Bowser to request as many National Guard troops as she needed to protect the city. He also testified, President Trump has suggested 10,000 would be needed to keep the peace at the public rallies and protests scheduled for January 6, 2021. Arnaito also described White House frustration with Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller's slow deployment of assistance on that afternoon. So even Defense Secretary Christopher Miller was slow to move on this. He was slow walking this defense situation that was about to be needed. Not only did the committee not only accurately characterize the interview, not accurately, they suppressed the transcript from public view. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that.
No.
This report was put up by Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is a government watchdog. They go by the Freedom of Information Act. They have every right to sue for documents, transcripts, anything that's going on in government. They have every right to get to the bottom of it and get to the truth. That's what they do. They've been doing it for a long mm-hmm. time, Judicial Watch. I thank God for that, Judicial
me too.
Watch.
I mean, very thank much God so. Is right.
So this article over at the Federalist was actually put there in cahoots with the work done by Judicial Watch. So Arnaito has described the White House frustration and that Christopher Miller's slow deployment of assistance. So not only did the committee not accurately characterize the interview, they suppressed the transcript from public review. So I would have liked to have reviewed that transcript. On top of that, but it was suppressed from me. On top of that, the committee allies began publishing critical stories and even conspiracy theories about Arnaito ahead of the follow-up interviews with him. Arnaito was a career Secret Service official who had been detailed to the security position in the White House. Cheney frequently points skeptics of her investigation to the government publishing office website that posted, she said, transcripts, documents, exhibits, or meticulously sourced 800-plus page final report. That website provides supporting documents to the claims made by Cheney and fellow anti-Trump enthusiasts. Now, earlier I said this article goes on to point out the receipts. That's it right there. Transcripts, documents, exhibits, and meticulously sourced reports are found at a government publishing office website. However, I'm not telling you what website it is yet because the article didn't tell me yet, but let's go on. Just a little bit more here, guys. The transcripts of fewer than half of the 1,000 interviews the committee claims that it conducted are posted on that site. It's unclear how many of the hidden transcripts include exonerating information suppressed by the committee. So no committee should ever suppress exonerating information. You shouldn't do that. If you do that, then you are living in the shadows. Are being dark.
Yes.
You're not living in the light. Wasn't Liz Cheney Republican?
Well,
doesn't she want to see the truth no matter what?
She's rhino. She's not really in for the country. She's a rhino.
She's a uniparty thing.
Yeah.
You know, that committee was not done properly either. There was no ranking officer on both sides. You have to have a ranking officer on both sides. The ranking officer in the opposition needs to be within the committee. Nancy Pelosi said no way to Jim Jordan, ranking officer. And I think there was Steve Scalise or somebody else that wanted in on that committee.
Right.
So that they could counter and show their evidence.
Right.
That was told no way by Nancy Pelosi, which is unethical, and it's not the way we normally do things in Congress.
It does if you're trying to lie and cheat. I mean, look at the next line.
Those documents that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're
okay, right. The documents support the committee's narrative rather than the truth of the evidence leading up to January 6th. So these documents support committee's narrative, which is what today's show is all about, to support a narrative rather than the truth. The former J6 Select Committee apparently withheld Mr. Ornato's critical witness testimony from the American people because it contradicted their predetermined narrative. Mr. Ornato's testimony proves that Mark Meadows has said all along, President Trump did in fact offer 10,000 National Guard troops to secure the U.S. Capitol, which was turned down, said the Georgia Republican. His subcommittee is reviewing the work of the January 6th committee, which has been accused of the unethical behavior at the expense of accuracy. You know, now that the Republicans are in the majority, they're able to go back and pull these things back out, start looking at it.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, back then, I used to listen to everything Trump said. Mm. I've heard him say he was requesting 10,000 troops. Mm. I heard him say...
Because he would tweet stuff and he would talk about it.
All the time. I heard it all the time. And then I also heard him say at least 5 times, maybe 10 times, mm-hmm. we're going to the Capitol peacefully. Mm. We're going peacefully. And I kept thinking to myself, why does he keep saying that? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just listening to podcasts or, you know...
And it's so amazing because you already know what you're hearing and you see it to be understood, but they want you to un-understand it and turn it into something else.
Or the ones who didn't see it to be...
Never to understand
it.
Exactly. And, you know, right now, there's Dan Bongino was saying yesterday that they are determined that when Trump wins, because he's got all the support,
yeah.
They're not going to accept the electric... They're not going to accept it in Congress,
right?
The electorals. So when Trump wins, we're going to deny the electorals and we're not going to certify it. And one of the reasons they're saying that is because no matter what, there's a certain American that they don't want to be allowed to run this country.
Yeah.
No matter what, they got to do. And so one of the things they have to keep telling people, the reason we're not going to accept electorals and certify them is because Trump is an insurrectionist. Now, here's what I got to say. There's never been a charge for insurrection formally. Jack Smith did not formally charge him for insurrection. Jack Smith is going and beating around the bush trying to find other things, documents, whatever else. He did not charge him for insurrectionism or insurrectionist. And Trump is not an insurrectionist. And all the narrative that he's an insurrectionist is that they're trying to still ride on is just now been blown out of the water right here with the Freedom of Information Act. So my God, when are we going to get to the truth around here?
You know, but a lot of people won't get to the truth till their TV tells them. And that's the next
that's
thing
the
to
problem.
Get through. You know, that's why we got to stay doing the podcast and more people like us have got to get out there speaking truth.
Yeah, because guys, on American Freedom and God podcast, we love American freedom. I want you to right now be able to get on your Harley and ride across the highways of the beautiful plains of America and feel free. And I'm talking physically wind blowing in your hair free. Or maybe you'll have a helmet on.
Maybe.
But I'm talking just feel free. Now, if we allow this kind of stuff without saying something, we could lose every bit of that eventually. It's just a matter of years that go by that it works against us until you finally lose it all. And as if right now we still have a little grip on it to some extent. But if they're allowed to say an insurrectionist happened, or an insurgency,
right.
If they're allowed to say that and make it stick in the minds of the people, then they are allowed to lie and get away with it. And at the same time, the people that are supporting this narrative are trying to tell you that guys like me are MAGA, filth, trash, and we should not be trusted because we are bad for democracy. We are a threat to democracy.
That's another narrative.
It's a narrative they've been saying for a very long time. So I'm here to bring you the truth in the eyes of God. This is where I'm going with this. Watch The Fall of the Cabal. Guys, you can just get on Rumble and search that Fall of the Cabal. You know what a cabal is. And get in there. Look for it. There's going to be a few results. Look on Rumble. Look for the one that shows that it's 10 hours long. And just watch a little bit each day until you get through all 10 hours. I just want you to know this stuff, you know, in the back of your mind. As you listen to news narratives, at least you'll know these things.
And it's a lot to digest.
There's a lot to digest.
You've got to take a little break on that one, right?
Do watch that. That's your assignment in American Freedom and God podcast today. Watch The Fall of the Cabal. I want to take us over to our first soundbite. We're Steve Bannon's War Room. And we are going to take in an example. If I can find it here. We're going to take in an example of what it sounds like, the narrative that we're talking about, and then we'll let Steve tell you the reality that overrides the narrative. And I know they'd like to think, no, our narrative overrides your reality. So guys, it's a conflict. Let's just listen in.
The problem is, and we see it over and over again, and let's just keep going back to that famous saying, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is continuing to tell us, and with more rapidity, that he is an autocrat. And if he takes power again, he will be an autocrat. And this worshiping of Hitler's power, just like this worshiping of President Xi, just like this worshiping of Kim Jong-un, just like this worshiping of Vladimir Putin, it all comes from the same disturbing place. He has an anti-American bent to authoritarianism.
Absolutely. I mean, Donald Trump has told us like 57,000 times who he is, and we see clearly who he is, and what a sick, warped individual he happens to be. I mean, it's hard to look at him any other way. Yes, you always follow the money with Trump, but it's more than his lust for money. It's more than his narcissism. There is this authoritarian bent, this fawning over authoritarian figures. I know we're going to talk about it later, but Viktor Orban at Mar-a-Lago, are you kidding me? This is the great guy, the great leader that he wants to praise. It's just sick. And it amazes me, and I'm sure it amazes General Kelly, and it amazes a lot of other people, that more Americans, that all Americans, don't see this in Donald Trump and don't fear it and reject it. But again, here we are. He's going to be the Republican candidate, and there's a possibility that he could be president again. It scares the willies out of General Kelly, and scare the willies out of all of them.
Is to save my country. This country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Tuesday, 12 March, year of our Lord, 2024. You just heard, since the anti-democracy pitch is not working for them, and since the glow of what, I don't know, Adderall, whatever he got jacked up on Thursday night for his, for not a State of the Union, for this screed in the Congress, in the House, since that's wearing off and reality setting in about what he's really wrought on this country, and the numbers couldn't be more horrific for him. Now their new tact is, and this is because of a book that quotes old news of General Kelly. And remember, General Kelly, when he chose as chief of staff, it didn't work out. He wasn't a great chief of staff. And, you know, he has struck out at President Trump on numerous occasions, say he's authoritarian. I just keep going back and saying, look at the guy's actions. Those are years of peace and prosperity. Would anyone not hearken back to that time? And he kept Putin and the KGB in their place. There was no attacks anywhere. They kept North Korea in his place, kept Xi in his place, kept the mullahs in Persia in their place. No war in Gaza, no Houthi rebels sinking ships, sinking major transports in the Red Sea and attacking American combatants in a Kerry battle group. None of it. No crossing of the, no invasion of the southern border. None of it. No $1 trillion, you know, every 100 days deficits. None of it. None of the chaos and anarchy that's driving the world, the crime in the streets, the migrant crime, the illegal alien crime. Visit upon people. None of that happened. So you have an actual record that you can look at, that you can focus on. But this is their new thing, is he's Hitler. I just want to say, this is from the creme de la creme of the MSNBC crowd. He's sick, warped individual, lust for money, a narcissist. He's sick and disgusting. He's dangerous. On and on and on. This is their new mantra. This is their new line of attack that he's – and they're talking about a guy, I think he's won 5 elections, Viktor Orban, having chased the demons of Soros land out of Hungary which is, you know, here in these United States, look what Soros has done to this country. Look at the prosecutors, the local DAs he's put in office. Look at the pushing of the Open Borders group with the Open Society. Look at the NGOs he's funded. George Soros is a demon, a devil. Okay? He's a demon. And Viktor Orban, they ran him out of Hungary. Like, we're going to run him out of the United States. That day is coming, folks. You know, this is a bad guy, and his son's a bad guy, and the people around him are bad guys. The people at these NGOs he has. And so Orban's won what? For, they love democracy, except when people like Trump and Orban win. Orban wins in a democracy, wins all the time, overwhelming by landslides. With all of Western Europe, all the Western Europe media against him, Times of London, Financial Times.
All right. Good point by Steve Bannon. I just want to add to that. Yeah. Do you guys know who George Soros actually is? And the fact that this MSNBC, this is all they got. They decided the one narrative is washed up, that Trump's bad for democracy. That's all they could say. You know, they just kept going to that. But now that's not working. It's not working anymore. So, and he's made the nominee. So they're melting down saying, okay, let's turn to how sick he is and right. How twisted he is. Flat out Hitler he is. And, you know, and Steve was pointing it all out. He's like very calm. Just, you guys, Steve often apologizes for playing those cold opens on his show because he hates to put you through that, but he wants you to hear that so he can tell you the real truth. He wants you to know that they support a narrative rather than the truth.
Exactly.
And they don't like Donald Trump, not because he, you know, Donald Trump used to say, I will shake hands and talk to Putin. I will talk to Kim Jong-un of North Korea. I will talk to these other leaders because we are going to establish a dialogue and we're going to keep the world a safe place to live. Mm-hmm. They turn it into, he loves these dictators and he idols these dictators and he wants to be just like these dictators. Give me a break. How can you be like that? Me and the general, we're all scared now. You know,
yeah,
that's what they're saying in their narrative to try to get the people who watch to share that same sentiment.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those things, guys. You have to understand the Yemen's Houthis attacks. All the things that are happening now are all because of the current administration and regime that is running the United States. All the wars that are taking place, Israel and Gaza, all the wars that are happening from Iran, again, the Houthis, whatever you call it. All these wars are happening because of your current leaders, guys. Same thing with your prices. Same thing with your fuels. Same thing with trying to flip the switch to electrical energy only. You know, here's a concept. I read a post earlier. Why don't we make the wall electric? We want to do everything electric. Get over there and make the wall electric at the southern border. You know, but, you know, all this stuff that's happening, if you can't see what's really going on, that's fine. Keep coming to these podcasts. Keep going to the internet and looking for other articles. Don't just watch MSNBC and live true to it. Because you'll be living a lie. So their whole idea is to support a narrative and not the truth. Because the truth is a sledgehammer. Donald Trump is like a sledgehammer. So here's the other thing I want to add about Donald Trump's demeanor as a truth teller. He doesn't step into office and then just start bamming everybody. You know, like that cartoon about the guy that bashes things.
Whack-a-mole
or whatever. You know, there's several of them. Donald Trump didn't just go into the White House and start doing that, especially not the first time. The first time, he just wasn't seeing it all. Now he sees it a lot better. Yeah, he's going to whack-a-mole a few things and get it started. Because what we have to do is we have to get rid of the things that causes the demise of America. People look at it like he's going to destroy democracy. That's the narrative. No, he's going to save a democratically run country so that the people can rule.
He's shining the light on the corruption, and that's why they hate him. The more people understand how deep and how serious this corruption is, the more we have the backbone to stand up and say, we don't want it.
They're starting to shine a light on everything. And, you know, they're just terrified of that. They say, look, you know, we kind of know what we do wrong. We can't have a guy coming in and exposing it all. You know, so, especially with all the money that's involved,
that's
too.
That's why they say it's informational warfare. That's where we're at.
That's where we are, yeah, exactly.
Because they are not telling us the truth.
All right. Well, guys, I got a truth teller right here. And this truth teller uses the Holy Bible. This is Greg Laurie. He's a pastor. He's got a great story. What was the movie we watched not too long ago? The Rise of Greg Laurie and to his current status as Pastor Greg. He started out, he was just a kid that was, you know, kind of twisted up in drugs and running and screaming and hollering to the sky. And where's my life going? It was raining one day. He fell. A friend picked him up and said, Greg, we gotta help you here. We gotta help you. And so it went from a very dramatic scene like that to him becoming a pastor. And now his audiences are huge. It was seen in a vision that he was going to have these huge audiences. He was told that, and sure enough, it came to pass. So let's listen to what Greg's got to say. I got a couple of minutes put aside for our hope message on the American Freedom of God podcast. And so we're going to listen into the title is The Solution for Worry. So all very appropriate for today.
It's not hard to get overwhelmed with life and its many troubles. Well, coming up today, Pastor Greg Laurie has some good encouragement from the Word of God.
Life is full of troubles, isn't it? So we need help. And the Bible says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is very clear in saying, don't worry, instead pray.
This is the day.
Said worry is the advanced interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. An old Swedish proverb says worry gives a small thing a big shadow. What shadow is looming over you right now? Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie continues a series called Faith 101, a crash course on the Christian life. We'll tackle the problem of worry and anxiety. Pastor Greg points out the Lord has given us a very powerful tool that will help us put our worries to rest.
I heard the story of a young man who was raised in a crazy way, had a very chaotic childhood. He spent a great deal of his time living with his grandparents because his mother didn't really have much time for him. And then that young man got older and he himself made some bad decisions and found himself in a drug lifestyle. Well, as it turns out, he would hang out with a little group of guys and they would walk around and they happened to walk past the home of a pastor and his wife every single day. So the pastor's wife would look out the window at these kids and she started praying for them. And she prayed that one of those kids would come to Christ, even more than one. But she kept praying that. And then one of those kids went and ended up hearing the gospel on his high school campus and gave his life to Jesus Christ. By the way, that kid was me. And the pastor was Chuck Smith and his wife was K. Smith. And so I bring this up because every one of us probably had someone pray for us to believe in Jesus. It might have been a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a son or a daughter or a spouse or a sibling or maybe a complete stranger. But I bring this up to point out to you there is power in prayer. And it is one of the things that we fail to take advantage of as often as we should. So I want to talk to you about prayer, just kind of a flyover on it. Again, the title of my message is A Crash Course on Prayer. Now, you probably wonder, why is it that God answers some prayers and he doesn't answer others? I heard about a young man who was in college and he was taking a very important exam and he handed his exam paper into the professor. And as he was handing it in, the professor announced to the class, "Hey, students, hold on before you turn in your exam, because I have a form I want you to sign to say to me that you did not have any outside assistance." Well, this young man hesitated for a moment, and he went privately to the professor, and he said, "Professor, actually, maybe I shouldn't sign this. I did have some outside assistance. I prayed before and during the exam." So the professor said, "Well, let me see your paper." And he went over the boy's exam. And he gave it back to the boy and he said, "You can go ahead and sign the form because I can assure you God did not answer your prayer." So sometimes God says no to us. sometimes God says yes to us. And remember, this is a series that we're doing called Faith 101. We're going over the basics of what every Christian needs to know. Let me review what we have already seen together. Number one, if you want to be a growing Christian, and by the way, you never outgrow this, but if you want to be a growing believer, you must love, read, study, meditate on, and memorize the Bible. That is absolutely essential. As I've said before, failure or success in the Christian life depends on how much of the Bible you get into your life on a regular basis and how obedient you are to it. Number two, if you want to be a successful and growing Christian, you must share your faith. Jesus has told us all to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but not just that. He's told us to make disciples of all nations. And remember, I pointed out to you that an older believer needs a younger believer in their life to energize them, and a younger believer needs an older believer in their life to stabilize them. You see?
Good point. Good point. Amen. Amen. Pastor Greg Laurie, go to harvest.org, guys, and listen to the rest of this crash course on prayer, the solution for worry. And don't forget to hit the donate button for this website that Greg has here and for his ministry. Because by doing that, you're helping him continue to do what he does and get the word out. I've been listening to Greg for over a decade. I've been listening to several other names. I don't want to name on all of them because I don't want to leave anyone out. I used to have a rundown of daily pastors that I listened to. And one of the things that used to help me with is, well, I knew I had to go out and do a hard job. I wanted to hear from God's word on the way. And that's why I'd play it in the car and stuff. And it would encourage me, and I'd get out of that car. And people would just wonder why I was a little different, you know, than the other guy. You know, we're out here in the mud. We're out here putting in awful conditions. We got to climb. We got to pull. We got to, you know, do hard things. And you're just over there whistling and being all cheerful. What's wrong with you, boy? Oh, nothing. I just got a whole dose of Bible talk in me. That's all. So it's not just Bible talk either. It's like what Greg's doing here. It's a solution for worry. When you pray, he already said this, it is one of the most powerful things you can do. And you're not taking it, if you're not doing it, you're not taking advantage of the powers that God gave you. It's right here. Take advantage of it. Read what that says and pray. When you do that, you start finding out that, oh my God, and you can say it like that if you want. Some people say, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, but I've been praying and things have been happening. It's true. It's very true. I'm doing this all cheerfully because I'm a living proof of that. We're all God's children, though, and so any one of us can capitalize the same way with the Lord. And you know what? If you have a bad dream, you can wake up in the middle of the night and pray, and then when you fall back asleep, you have a good dream. The smallest examples to the largest examples. You know, I needed a van one time because all my tools were getting rained on in the pickup truck, and I got tired of it. But I didn't have any actual extra money to get a van, and I still had this pickup truck. I prayed about it, and within a month later, I was out of the truck and in a van. And I didn't know it was going to happen. Some guy suddenly had a van for sale while I was over at my friend's house. It's just, you gotta pray. Things happen when you pray. Today's health segment, guys, we want to talk about a little bit each week about your health. I'm going to end the show with it today. I didn't bring a sound bite for that, but I do have a few things in mind that I wanted to talk about. One is synthetic biology and the other one is GMO, genetically modified organism. So what we do is we look under the microscope and we figure out a way to make meat. Using biology. Doesn't that sound good? I want you guys to realize that along with these new things that are happening, I'm not going to say electric cars every time. Maybe it's a smaller example, but when it comes to our food, our farmers are under attack, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. Our farmlands are under attack. The purchase of these lands is happening by billionaires. They want to get rid of cows. They make excuses like if it farts, we get too much CO2. You know, their fraudulent cow is bad for democracy. But it's all under attack. And testosterone is under attack for that matter. They don't want men to be strong. If they can get what they want, they don't want men to be strong.
No, because they'll fight them.
And they don't want women to be fertile.
Right. Because they'll reproduce.
They don't even want population. if they can get it that way.
Well, you know, so, you figure if you want to control a population, control their food source.
Control their food source. So I guess you guys heard of somebody like Bill Gates, maybe some other names that billionaire ring. The billionaires or the elites are able to put money into organizations that do things, and they continue to do it, and they continue to encourage them and give them incentives with lots and lots of millions of dollars. And then these organizations start popping up everywhere around the globe. They'll test it in one country, then bring it to the U.S. But what they're doing is they're developing meat through a microscope. They're developing meat through synthetic biology. So when you go into the grocery store and now you've seen all the ads and the hype, the beautiful woman with the tights on and the ponytail, and she's working out and she's looking good, and she says, and I eat the impossible meat
right.
instead of ground beef, which would be very bad and sluggish for me. And she's showing you this. So now you're sold. When you go to the grocery store and you get that impossible meat and you bring it home and eat it. And I read an article just yesterday. The guy said, I took one bite and I knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a vegetable burger.
Right.
A so-called vegetable burger. So there's two main elites in the world right now that are putting these factories out there. And there's like two major brands right now. You'll find them in the grocery store next to the real meats. And by the way, if you're getting real meat, which is what I recommend, make sure it's grass-fed, well-raised cattle and stuff like that. But that's beside what I'm saying here. These impossible burgers are not created by a bunch of vegetables that got mashed up in a blender and then somehow put together into a flavor that you can't resist. Well, that you can do that with anything. Make it a flavor you can't resist. It could be poison and you can make it a flavor you can't resist. But they did not take vegetables to make this thing. At least, if you're talking about synthetic biology, then you know that it didn't come from nature. So what we have to do is, did they actually make this impossible meat, burger meat from vegetables? Because maybe you could grind up carrots and you can grind up beets and you can grind up all kinds of different vegetables and make a mash. And then you can color the mash and you can flavor the mash and then you can make this. And now when you cook it, it's like a burger, but it's all vegetable.
But it's not going to look and taste like meat.
No, but I mean, that's what they're trying to do. So how are they getting to be able to make what looks like ground beef out of vegetables? And why does it look like ground beef if it's vegetables?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
Well,
that's what we're here for.
Okay. Well, they, according to the research that we've been studying, is they add all these ingredients that they say, well, when you cut into the burger, it looks like blood, you know, like juicy blood. And they said they make that from beet juice. You know, ground beet. We eat beets all the time. Beet juice. It doesn't taste like meat.
In a salad.
So how do they get that meat flavor? Well, one of the additives that they're putting in there that is not disclosed right away is cells from aborted fetuses, kidney cells, because it has to be more like meat.
Oh, my God. Again, guys, go watch The Fall of the Cabal. And, you know, there's 10 hours worth. You can find it on Rumble. You're going to get more information on that. It is true that as things are happening, it may not be in your household. It may not be in your grocery. It is in your grocery store, believe it or not.
Yes, it is.
You know, they found that the beef that you were getting even at McDonald's wasn't exactly what people ought to be eating, and it's not necessarily good for you. They got sued for that, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what happens to these elites with all the billions? When you sue them, they're just like, oh, well, you win some, you lose some. And then they just keep going. And they just keep doing what they do. So.
Well, that's a business tactic for them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's like if you're in the stock market and you're trying to keep your losses under 20, you know, 15% loss. And you know that out of all your trades, there's going to be some losses, but hopefully mostly wins. And that's what these elites say whenever you sue them or try to, you know, point these things out. Oh, well, you win some. And then they just keep going and they start another new lab somewhere.
It just doesn't stop. And all that money they had to spend in the lawsuit, guess what that became?
What?
A write off.
A write off? Oh, so then it's tax free too.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So
a write
off. It's kind of a negative on a negative for you there. But I just wanted to point it out, when you go and buy an Impossible Burger, it's not necessarily something from nature, which is honestly, if I wanted to make a vegetable burger for somebody, I would use vegetables and right. nothing else. Kind of like when you buy Rough Greens or something. It's not a plug for that company, but I do like stuff that's good for me, right? So I learned about Rough Greens and what it's made of, or the ones that makes the fruit gummies and stuff, what it's made of. You look in there and you see exactly what the ingredients are. And you say, okay, this is okay to put into my blood system. But look on what, if they're disclosing it, because if it is synthetic biology, they don't have to disclose it because there's no FDA law saying that they do. But they do have to disclose it if it's genetically modified organisms. They have to disclose that. So if they modified the corn, they have to disclose it. But when they make synthetic biology, that one they get to keep to themselves.
Yeah.
So guys, just know that you're not going to get all healthy, fertile, having children, men going to get strong, big old pecs and biceps and whatnot by eating that vegetable burger. It's not going to solve your whether or not you can lose weight problems. It's not going to do any of those things. And the other thing it's not going to do is it's not going to interact well with your blood cells in your body because it did not come from nature. The reason that the foods grow out of the grounds that God put there is because that interacts well with the blood cells in your body,
right,
making you a very healthy person. It came from God. It came from nature. Synthetic biology does not come from God, and it does not come from nature. It comes from man who learned how to modify tiny little things and create new organisms.
And, let's just talk about that for a minute. Everything that we've been eating for decades, right? So the baby boomers are kind of really first generation to be really raised on all this stuff.
Yeah.
They started food like products they created in a lab, right?
Oh, okay.
So now look at all the disease that's around the country because of food like products they've created in a lab. They don't even know what this one's going to do yet. I mean, can you imagine?
Yes, we have no idea what we're in for eating synthetic biology.
Right. I mean, buyer beware on this one.
Yeah, there could be all kinds of little stuff in a synthetic biological organism. You never know what you're getting. So,
honestly, my radar is saying beware. Really, really watch yourself with this
I'm
one.
I'm thinking, because you look back, the baby boomers, right. What we're being fed eventually, it seems that the amount of cases of cancer and deaths started to just increase throughout time.
And major sicknesses.
Major sicknesses.
Organs and
blood.
To
mention, if you are in the business of helping a cancer patient, that this is what you do, you're just going to thrive because you're going to keep getting new customers.
Well, yeah, that's a whole
business. The whole business.
You want to layer in that into all this?
No, we don't want to layer in on this episode.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
So they actually want cancer and stuff like that.
Well, it's a business model.
Society.
It's a business model.
So it's like, again, if you're an investor, you can stay behind the scenes, make lots of money. But, guys, if you have a heart and you have a conscience, let's stand in the light and leave the darkness behind us. Because we want to tell the truth, but we want to do it in a sympathetic way where somebody who has been taught in a nefarious kind of way, and they kind of believe it, and they think that there's a certain person that's bad when actually that's the person that's trying to help you, then that I have a lot of sympathy for. Maybe we could somehow get through. Again, go back to the Word of God for starters, maybe. Start praying. I'd like to see all women be fertile again, be able to have babies. I'd like to see all men be strong so that they can pick up heavy things and do for their wives. It's a very simple, down-to-earth concept. But what I really like to see is that when we eat stuff that we're in nature supposed to eat. At first it was just like God created us to mostly eat vegetables. That's why our teeth are the way they are. We have a couple canine teeth, but we were supposed to eat mostly vegetables. That's what's the very best for us. But in order to boost your testosterone or to boost your amino acids, you might need to take in some proteins to go with those vegetables. And so we do that, and it's not defiling. Can you think New Testament? All that's been dealt with by Jesus. Go ahead, eat the meats, eat the vegetables, but make sure it's not synthetically generated. That's the message. Today's health message.
That's a good one.
So guys, one of the things that Debbie and I love to do is we love to bring the health message at the very end of the show. I could probably put it at the beginning, but then we would lose the other things we're trying to do. One of the reasons we do it is because we're practicing that. We do exactly what we're saying, what we're asking you not to do. We don't do what we're asking you to be aware of. We try to do that. We try to do the eat the right stuff. So go to the store, make sure it's grass-fed, or go to the fresh market if you got one, even before a grocery store, and get, you know, if these guys have their livestock and then they actually butcher their own meat and they put it out there and they go buy it from them.
Yeah.
They didn't synthetically modify that thing. They just put it out there for you. And they're willing to sell it to you. And guys, if we can, advocate against losing our farms and losing our farmers.
Yeah, we have to.
Advocate against it, guys. We need this. The world will starve without
it. We'll be next if we lose the farms.
I think the elites, they want to see people kind of wither away, and then they want to feed you their synthetic stuff, the ones that are left.
Well, let me just throw one more tidbit on that one. All these, what is it? A million acres burning in Texas.
Okay. Quite a bit. I don't know about the number, but it's huge.
I think it's like that. Okay. I've heard something like over 100,000 cattle dead already.
Yes.
But not only the cattle that we lost. Texas is a big cattle place. You know, produces meat.
Yes.
They just burned off how many acres?
Millions and millions of dollars worth of meat.
So what does that mean? The grass is gone. What are these cows that survived are going to?
They're attacking the very things that makes us healthy.
They are attacking it.
You might ask, well, then who started the fire? Well, that can be done from space.
Yeah, that's a whole
You really don't need an answer there other than if we can just get the right leaders in place, the right leaders will bring truth to the forefront,
right,
and they will start doing away with what it is that's trying to do away with us. That's what we got to do.
That's what we need, the truth.
We need the truth. And next week, we're going to talk more truth. So we'll do it again then, guys. And until then, goodbye. Believe in me, 'cause I don't believe in anything. And I want to be someone to believe, to believe, to believe. This has been the American Freedom and God Podcast. Join us every week for the latest episodes. Please subscribe, rate, and review the series. Visit us and comment on a blog post at johnpfox.com. Happy listening, and remember to always show your awesome. Goodbye.